Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. Thank you for joining me today. This is Sister Judith, and we're going to continue on in a message I've been sharing on the Feast of First Fruits. And we were looking, as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, to Leviticus, the 26th chapter, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 12. This is the Lord speaking. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. That particular chapter 26 of Leviticus begins by saying, you shall make no idols, nor graven images, nor rear up a standing image, and bow down to worship it. And sometimes as we read the Old Testament, we'll say, well, you know, we're not certainly going to do that. We're far, you know, much more sophisticated. But beloved, perhaps you are aware that an idol is anything that takes a person's worship, a love, attention, focus, time, energies, that which means the most. Many things, beloved, can be idols to us. We may not be bowing down to a statue as people did in ancient times, but we can have idols in our heart. They can be all manner of things, even good things, family, sports, entertainment. There can, even for someone in ministry, the ministry can be an idol. Rather than worshiping God, they can get so caught up in the things in the exterior and what they're doing, that they lose sight that they also have been called to worship the Lord and to walk in spirit and in truth. And so, beloved, we have to understand that if we will obey the Lord, if we will put Him first, the same promises that applied to ancient Israel, as He was, the words I just shared with you, apply to us. If we will hearken to the word of the Lord, do what He says, be obedient, you shall chase your enemies. In other words, you will have victory in spiritual warfare, whether they could be physical relationships. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but the enemy can be using people to work against you, to be, as it were, your enemy in the workplace. In the neighborhood, there could be, and even your own household. Jesus said, a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. But He said that 5 would chase 100, and 100 would put 10,000 to flight. And in verse 9, He said, He would have respect unto you, make you fruitful and multiply you, establish His covenant, and He would walk among you. That talks of fellowship, and He would be their God. He would be our God, and they and we should be His people. So I'd like to turn now to Leviticus, the first chapter. And we see here God commanding certain things. The Lord spoke to Moses out of the tabernacle of the congregation. He said, speak unto the children of Israel. This is Leviticus 1, verse 1 through 9. And if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer it male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And the very significant act, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make an atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall sprinkle the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering, cut it in pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put the fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. What do we see here? The offering had to be without blemish, not only in the sight of man, but also in the sight of God. And we see Christ as God's beloved Lamb was without blemish and without spot. This offering had to be brought to the door. It must be laid in order upon the altar. The offering was to be voluntary. In verse 4, the one making the offering had to put his hand on the head of the burnt offering. This was a personal identification with the burnt offering. And when the person brought the offering, the one who offered the burnt offering was accepted in the offering. Beloved, when Jesus sacrificed his life, poured out his blood for us on that cruel cross, he was an offering to God, paying in full the price of the sins of every man, woman, and child who would turn to him. And beloved, we do the same when we offer ourselves a living sacrifice. That was consumed in entirety, so we can't hold back anything. We also have to be willing to be a complete sacrifice to the Lord, to offer everything we are to God. Do you see the beauty of the symbolism, beloved? Just as nothing was held back in terms of the feasts of Israel, so we are also to present ourselves with a fervor, with an entirety, holding nothing back, placing nothing else before the Lord. Nothing. He alone is worthy of our worship, of our sacrifice, of our time, of all that we are, because God was willing through Jesus to pay the ultimate price for sin. No greater love does a man have that he lay down his life for his friends, and this Jesus has done for us. And our loving response is, yes, Lord, all that I am, all that I ever will be, I owe it all to thee. As that old familiar song, to God be the glory. Whatever we have, God has given us. The gifts, the talents, our very life, our breath belongs to him. Let's just take a moment. Father, I thank you so much for all that Jesus did. And Lord, as we look toward that glorious moment in time, after Jesus said it was finished and he was in the grave, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Lord, we celebrate that glorious victory. We thank you, Lord, that because he lives, we shall live also. Because he conquered death, he has the keys of hell and of death, of the grave. And so, Father, we rejoice in that supreme sacrifice that Jesus made. And Father, we ask that we can, with all of our hearts, as never before, surrender and yieldedness to you. And Lord, that we shall be that people, do those exploits that you have commanded us to do, those greater works. Lord, we believe you for it. We thank you, God, that you are God and that you will give strength to your people. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. For the Spirit of the Lord would say, my beloved, from time immemorial I have called you unto myself. I have chosen, yea, the path that you should walk in, and have I ordained, yea, the very work of my hands to be accomplished in your life. And I shall bring you forth as pure as gold through the trials and through the troubles and the afflictions. They are not designed to consume you, but to cause you to lean upon the arm of the Lord. And my arm shall be bared in your behalf, and I shall fight for you, says the Lord. Faint not and fear not, but trust me, for I shall cause the enemy of your soul to be vanquished, and you shall lift your voice in praise and in triumph, for you shall see with your own eyes those things that have hindered you, those obstacles that have stood in your path, the mountains that seemingly have blocked your way, your progress going forward in the Lord. You shall see the strength of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord, the work of the Lord accomplished in your behalf, and I shall make the way straight before your feet. Praise me, fear not, for just keep your eyes as a flint upon your God, and you shall see those victories you have desired, says the Lord. Praise God. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that empowering. Thank you, Lord, for that strength. You shall fight for us, Lord, but we shall be strong in you. Amen. We shall be those spiritual warriors that you've called us to be, fully prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace, with the full armor of God, Lord, and we shall conquer in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful, wonderful name. Well, I thank the Lord for his goodness. I thank God for all that he has done in our lives. And I'm just so grateful for this opportunity that we've had to share about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And now as we look to see what the scriptures further have to say about the Feast of First Fruits, we're going to be looking at that on tomorrow's broadcast, and I invite you to join me at the same time. And should you ever miss a broadcast, know that you're very free to go to our website, unveilchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast, and you can listen anytime at your convenience. Know that I love you, and I pray for you every day. I'm asking God's richest blessings. I'm asking for those prayers that you've placed on the altar of God to be answered in short order, that you can rejoice to see his hand operative in your life today, not for some future time, but now is the day of salvation. I love you. Thank God for you, for your prayers, for your financial help. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.